This chest is full of memories of gold and silver tears. I'd give you more to own than all of this, and I'll give you more than years. For you were once a child of innocence, and I see you just the same. Your burdens couldn't win or lose a thing. Oh, I tell you once again, but you're always on the run.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Ostley and my co-host Paul Martin from NarniaFans.com, and we are bringing you a NarniaFans.com and Middle Earth Network special. Paul, you have brought a special guest for us today. Do you want to introduce him?
Yes, I would like to. His name is Eric Oyoung, and he is from the band Future of Forestry. They're a favorite band of mine going back since the release of their album Twilight, and I'm very excited and very honored to be able to interview him today. So we'll bring Eric on right now.
Eric, you want to say hello to all the listeners out there?
Yeah, hi everyone. Hi Paul. Hi Mark. Thanks for having me on here. Real excited to chat with you guys.
Excellent. All right, let's get right into it then. First of all, tell us about the band, and for those who don't know, just give us a good introduction.
Yeah, sure. The band is Future of Forestry, and I'm based here down in San Diego, California. Future of Forestry is pretty much a rock band, but a lot of people have described it as having a very ambient feel to it. Kind of melodic ambient rock, maybe the category. What Future Forestry is often known for is just having a lot of fun with a lot of instruments. I use things like a harmonium and a four-octave vibraphone on stage, or toy piano, and things to just kind of make the songs have a different flavor, a different interest, and to always have something going on that's different and engaging.
Well, a four-octave vibraphone. I don't know that I've ever heard of that. We're going to have to find out more about that a little bit later.
It's kind of like a xylophone with big tubes on it, so it kind of resonates. It's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful instrument.
Wow.
Awesome.
So about the band's name, Future of Forestry, there's some connection to C.S. Lewis, a C.S. Lewis poem in there. What led you to want to use that, or inspired you to use that for the name of your band, Future of Forestry?
Well, I'd love to say because it was some, you know, intellectual ascent into this great moment of awe, but actually it was because it sounded really, really cool. And that was the beginning of it. It was like, wow, Future of Forestry, that just, you know, with all the F's in there and the way that kind of rolls around in your mouth, it just was a really cool sounding name. But the really interesting part of it is after the name was being considered, I took some time to look into the poem and to actually fall in love with the poem and to take the poem on as a little bit of a mantra for the rest of what the band stood for, and lyrically a lot of the direction that I took with the band. So the poems, just to quote the first line, says, "How will the legend of the age of trees feel when the last tree of England falls?" And so it's a setting in the future that C.S. Lewis has kind of drawn up in our minds, that all the trees are gone. And he goes to explain in this poem the perspective of even the children who have grown up in this new futuristic time that have no idea what a tree is. And as we're trying to describe them as these living things, they're kind of thinking of these weird creatures and stuff. And so it's really fascinating. But at the root of it, what it really is getting at is this idea of this, of what he calls this Eden state, this time of our roots, of realizing who we are, where we came from, and what is beautiful in our lives. What is beautiful in our lives is certainly not found on a computer screen with little dots and found by connecting through Facebook and things like that, but rather the more pure things of our Eden state that we have been born into. And so it's a little bit of a call to us, especially in these times in which it's very easy to forget what's beautiful and what's natural and what's important in our lives.
Wow. That's impressive. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you said on I believe it was the Solstice DVD that you wanted to create music that basically emulates that. Like, you called it a beautiful collision of people, music, and art. That you wanted to create in a way that's deeper than any of us could ask for. And I would think that summed it up very well, that you actually are doing that.
Yeah, the fun part of it is when you realize that the sum is greater than all the parts. So when you take, you know, a crowd and you take some guitars and you take some keyboards and you take some, you know, microphones and the people on stage, and you add all of these things up, the product that you get from it is so much greater than the sum. You get this otherness, this very spiritual interaction that is so incredible and so much greater. And that's what's fascinating to me, is I get to be in touch with that when I become a part of music.
Right. Just out of curiosity, too, are any of your songs then inspired directly by any of the works of C.S. Lewis?
I wouldn't say directly. I don't think there's any like specific quotes. But I would say a ton of it is from the idea of the Future of Forestry poem, really calling us back to ourselves, you know, like even when I said that, you know, I just realized one of the songs that I titled was Did You Lose Yourself? Mm-hmm. And the whole song is about being kind of inundated by technology and our lives being plugged into technology. And then, you know, in the second verse, it kind of gives you a vision of the flip side of that, where I'm on a boat in the Sea of Japan, just fishing and living off of the sea and experiencing a completely different kind of a whole life. So yeah, that song's definitely about what C.S. Lewis is talking about.
That's awesome. Amazing. What's some of the processes that you go through in putting together a song?
People always ask me how I write, and I really never have a solid answer because it's different every time. Sometimes it's starting with a lyric and I use the words and start shaping a melody around that. Sometimes I just am inspired by an instrument and start playing it and then start recording it, and then it just builds from there. I would say overall, though, I'm always drawing from life. I'm always drawing from just random experiences, whether that's a conversation with you guys and while we're talking, you make me think of something and then I just stop and write it down in a notebook, or I'm listening to somebody else's song and it makes me think of something, or watching a movie. There's so much around every single day that inspires us, but we rarely actually capture it and write it down. So I feel like it's my job just to make sure I'm a good record keeper and just write it down when it comes. And then when it's time to write a song, I've got a notebook full of just random life experiences and ideas to portray.
Wow. I guess what I'd love to ask then is going on to the song If You Find Her, which is very harmonious and not a lot of instrumentation in it. How, like, what inspired it then, and how did that song even come about? It's like, it, 'cause it's like each song on Twilight is completely different from the last, and that one just seemed to be one of the most peaceful on the album.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say most peaceful. The song "If You Find Her" is commonly mistaken because we have a large Christian fan base, and for some reason, anytime you say "her" in a song, people assume that it's like symbolic of the church or something.
Right.
And
right.
I always have to tell people, look, people, sometimes you can say "her" and it's not about the church. And so it is purely a love song. There's nothing more, nothing less. It's a love song. And the song was written to a girl that at the time I was just pursuing and realizing her beauty and her you know, intricateness, that's pretty much my life was coming to a place of peace with her. And so things went well with the song. I ended up marrying the girl, so a special girl and a special song to me.
That's awesome. I was going to ask too, how did the pursuit go, but you already answered that, so it sounds like it turned out quite well.
Yeah, if it didn't go so well, I don't know if I would speak so fondly of the song. So,
so I have to ask though. I'm sorry, Paul, but I have to ask. So did you? How would you say it? Sing to her to kind of win her over too, or?
Yeah, I wrote the song for her, and it's a interesting song because the song is basically saying I love you, but it's like talking to the person's inner self. So it's basically saying, like, well, you may not be ready to hear I love you, but I'm saying it anyway.
And that's fantastic.
I think, Paul, that I may have found your equal in the romanticist department, because we joke amongst ourselves, but Paul met his wife before that, but he proposed to her on the set of The Voyage to the Dawn Treader on the ship. And we've we've got that story. And I've always said that Paul is one of the most romantic people I've ever come across. But I think Paul, you may have met your equal now.
I think I have. That's pretty fantastic. Like, okay, so going back to even Twilight, what are your personal favorite songs on the album? Because it's hard for me to find one song that, like, every time I listen to it, I get to the next song and that song's my new favorite, and then I get to the next song and that song's my favorite. So I guess, what are your favorite songs on the album?
Oh man, Paul, there's no way an artist can like pick his favorite songs, you know?
It's true.
like picking your favorite child.
What's your favorite? Yep. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Which is your favorite child, you know? Each one is unique, and each one you want to hang out with at different times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide spectrum of songs on that album, all the way from like "If You Find Her," which is, you know, if you find her, tell her that I love her. It's a love song, and it's just acoustic guitar. It's the most simple song you could write. Mm-hmm. And then you have other songs like "All I Want." They're very, very. It's a heavier feel and lots of very complicated drum beats and things mm-hmm. like that. And then you've got very ambient songs like "Sanctitatis," which is Latin, the Latin song that comes from Latin liturgy, which is, says "Vere Sanctus," you know, which basically is the song is about, I think it's translated, "You are holy, holy indeed, fountain of all holiness." Which is, even when it's translated, is very beautiful. But I wanted to sing the song in Latin because sometimes when we sing in English, we have associations with those words as English-speaking people.
Right.
And so I thought, man, I don't want to have associations. I just want to express this, but not to have the word association. So it's very spiritual to me to sing it in a different language that we don't typically hear, but then that we still know the meaning of it. And so that song is very ambient and very spiritual feeling. So it's kind of all over the map there with the album. And so I really couldn't pick a favorite of those.
Well, and that song too, I mean, it sounds to me as if you're using language in a sense as notes, or the words in a different language as notes or melody. to complement the song too.
Well, that's exactly what it is, and in some ways I stole that from the band Sigur Rós, which is one of my favorite bands. They're from Iceland, and they, you know, I have no idea what their religious standpoint is, but all I know is I've been to their concert, and when you're there, there is something so powerful and so spiritual about that experience that it's incredible. And what I wanted to do with my music was to have that spirit, but also to directly be able to express through lyrics what that spirit was, you know, the spirit of God, and to be more direct in that.
Yeah. In Sigur Rós, I could kind of tell was a very good, big influence on the music that you guys write as well. Big fan of them as well. So
moving on into the Solstice DVD, you've got what I think Paul and I agree on is a far too short Christmas EP, and a second one with some more great music.
Yeah, with Advent Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, Advent Christmas. Do you plan on recording some more songs with that trademark sound?
Well, yeah, I guess those were recorded out of necessity than they were really like for marketing or anything like that. And the reason was because I was doing these Christmas tours and people were just like, "Where, you know, when are you going to record these things?" And so I just started with six, and then they're like, "Well, we want more now," because, you know, the set list was building. And so I did another six. So I guess in essence, you have a full length album there.
True.
If you put them both together, there's the live DVD, which has a good number of Christmas songs on it as well. There's been talk of this year's Christmas tour doing a live recording of one of the dates on the tour. So if that's true, then you'll have all those songs done live plus more. And live is very special with Christmas tours because I take an extra amount of musicians, such as strings, you know, violin and cello, and I involve other instrumentalists so that we can have as many as eight people on stage playing all the instruments. So usually, I mean, you hear a lot of sounds on those Christmas albums. Those sounds are actually played live. It's not like, you know, backing tracks or something like that, but they're actually played. So that becomes a really special tour.
Awesome. Do you have any favorite Christmas songs that you haven't done yet that you'd love to do?
That's always tough. I've kind of expired all my favorites. Those are already on there. Songs like "Oh Holy Night" is probably one of our most played songs, and I love that song too. There is nothing more, you know, Christmas spiritual and nostalgic and beautiful than singing that song. So there are a few songs here and there, but they're probably more obscure. Like "Rose Era Blooming" is kind of it's a really beautiful song, but I know that song from singing in choirs and things like that, whereas the general public is not too aware of that song.
Gotcha. I guess let's go on from there to the Travel trilogy. Like, what inspired the I guess a three-part musical odyssey, and did you have an outline of the arc for it, or did you do each set of six songs individually for the albums?
The series kind of developed as it went. The song, the Traveler song, was what inspired the whole series. I wrote Traveler song before deciding whether it was going to be three EPs or even deciding whether the series was going to be based on travel. And so the chorus of the Traveler song says, "If you travel here, you will feel it all, the brightest and the darkest. And if you travel here, listen to your heart and take with you what lasts forever." And that to me set the stage for this whole series. I said, man, what a great way to just kind of talk about a journey, talk about the process of experiencing dark and light in life and taking with you what lasts forever. And so that kind of set the whole stage, and all the songs were born from that. We had a lot of fun with it. I took the idea of three EPs and had each one based on a different mode of travel. So for one of them, it's based on airplanes, and I did like an Amelia Earhart cover where, you know, there's a girl standing in front of an airplane, and it looks like it's from the 1940s or something. And so the first one was based on flight. And the second EP was based on ships and sailing. And so I wrote the song Set Your Sails. And that one, there's a painting of a girl standing in front of a ship. And that one kind of looks like it may be in the style of the artist Mooka, which is actually, I'm not even sure if that would be 30s or I'm sure there's art buffs that out there that are cringing. And then the third one is more like a 1960s feel where there's a girl standing in front of a, like a hot rod car. And, it's a DeVille actually. And, that's kind of a 60s look to it. And so that one's based on traveling, you know, in an automobile. So anyway, it's traveling through flight, traveling through water and traveling through land. And, you know, I had a lot of fun with that.
Awesome.
Would it be fair to say too? I mean, you know, we talked about using language like Latin as part of the melody. It also seems to me that your music is much more than just a song or a ballad or a piece of music. You're also interjecting, I guess it's an experience unto itself. I mean, visually, with some of the art that you're talking about, but you know. Melody-wise, so it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're trying to combine all these elements to tell an underlying message.
Yeah, definitely, and I would even say the experience is the most important thing to me. I don't like to script for people what they're supposed to believe and what they're supposed to get from these songs, you know, because I'm not trying to write some theological disposition or something. I'm writing a song which is creative and hopefully opening kind of creative doors for people in their own lives. And so half the time while I'm writing a song, I don't actually know what the song's exactly about. And I'm not sitting there crafting the song to make sure every word communicates exactly something that's totally clear, but it's communicating an experience. So I'll use words that bring the emotion of that experience. For example, the song Set Your Sails. I just wanted to paint a picture, so I said, the chorus says, hey, the night is waiting for you. Take a picture of the silver moon. Why are we taking a picture of the silver moon? I don't know, but it felt right, you know? Or there's another song called Hills of Indigo Blue. It says, we found the westward way to the hills of indigo blue. What are hills of Indigo? Where is that? I have no idea. When I think of hills of indigo blue, I think of the ocean. I think of ebbing blueness, like the ocean. And so, you know, that was a way to describe it. So there's a lot of things that I'm not even sure what they're about, but I like to paint pictures, and I love to see how fans take that and they go, this is what it is, and this is what I think it is. And they come and they do all this research and they find these things and they're like, I know this is what you meant, right? And I disappoint them. Like, oh, you know what? That's amazing that you found that connection. What's the, how is that, a coincidence? And I say, but you know, I didn't really mean that, but if that's what it means to you, that's awesome. And it really opens a lot of doors and inspires people, you know, in their own lives. And so that excites me.
That is some amazing. I mean, the way you describe that, because to me, it sounds, like your music too is obviously an experience, but also a sensation of sorts. If that even
yeah,
makes
definitely.
Sense.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. When I grew up in the church, it's like I grew up amidst almost a vibe that said like emotion was bad to have in religion.
Right.
And it's so anti what Jesus taught about, you know, basically how you need to involve your heart in those things. And you cannot be in love with someone and not have emotion.
Right, or not have intimacy.
Yeah, exactly. And so those things that I feel and experience in a spiritual sense with God are very, very emotional. I love to tap into that. And I've learned not to be afraid of that, but to really lean into it and let people experience that as well.
Awesome. Going on to, I guess, into the future, I guess, what is next? Are you working on a new album then? I mean, you said you were doing another Christmas tour, but
all of the above. I've got two tours planned this year. One will be a fall tour in September, which will be probably West Coast. And then another Christmas tour, which will be, can't even remember if this is the fifth or the sixth year of doing the Christmas tour. But I'll be heading from the West Coast. I'll be heading out east and touring the East Coast and back. So that should be a lot of fun. Yes, a new album is coming out this year. We are going to surprise people with the date instead of giving it away. It'll be a bit of a surprise. So, you know, we're just asking people to stay in touch, but, I can promise that, it's in the workings and it will be released this year.
Excellent. Excellent.
And how can people stay in touch with you? How can they find you on the web and how can they keep in contact with what's going on for the future for you with you guys?
Well, this is the future, so any way they want to, you know, you get your whole selection of Facebook, Twitter, you know, website, blog, whatever you want. So you know, if you just type in Future Forestry, it'll probably get you where you want to go. You know, we obviously have a website, futureofforestry.com. Facebook tends to be the way that people are going these days and the way we keep in touch. But, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yep. What about, advice for other, potential filmmakers in the future too. What would you say to them if they want to create music and
One of the things I've always learned as an artist is I said this in the DVD. I don't know if you remember this, but basically I said in the DVD not to take yourself too seriously. And I kind of said that off the cuff when I was being interviewed in that DVD, but I can't tell you how many times those words I've had to actually go back to them and remind myself that I said that, because in music and in art, we take things so seriously and we take them so heavy and we identify ourselves with them. Why? Because we're artists. That's just what we do. And it's really a temptation to get hung up on things. And what I've learned is that when I'm able to let go of that and just work fast and work hard and to move forward and to not get caught up in those things, that's when I'm freed up to be creative. But when I get focused on one thing, I'm trying to make the one perfect song, that song just ends up turning out to be bad. It turns out to not be honest anymore. It turns out not to be creative anymore. So I think that, you know, it's worked out really well for me to just always tell myself, move forward, keep working hard, but don't get stuck.
Awesome.
I was gonna jump in there and say too, that's a very interesting answer. We've been able to interview other artists, and I'm speaking mainly of people that work with canvas and oils and that type of thing. And that sounds very much the same process in those regards, because I remember interviewing Jeff Murray. He's a world-renowned Tolkien and Narnia artist. And he said, in essence, the same thing, but in the sense that he said, you know, you set out to paint the perfect painting, but he said at some point you just got to step away from it. And you can't get, you've got to say, okay, it's done. I can't do anymore, because if I try to add or make this even better, it's actually going to ruin it.
Well, there's a really cool story. And I like to read kind of like art books and things, because my wife is an artist as well. She's a visual artist. And so we found a lot of common ground in that. And one of the books we have tells a really cool story about some students that were given an assignment in a visual art class. They were divided in half, and half the class was given the assignment that they need to draw one painting or paint one painting for their final grade. And the other half of the class was instructed that their final grade was going to be based on the number of paintings that they do. And in the end, they would just weigh them on a scale. And if it weighed a lot, you know, they had a lot of paintings, they would get a good grade. So out of all these people, who do you think's art came out to be extremely beautiful and expressive and wonderful? It wasn't the students that were trying to do that one painting. It was the ones that were free just to do whatever they wanted and who weren't afraid that somebody was going to be evaluating their painting.
Oh, yeah.
That is, I think, some of the best advice for aspiring musicians and filmmakers that I've heard, and artists. That is incredible. Thank you for that.
Well, I wish I could listen to my own advice. I need to hear that as well.
Don't we all?
Indeed. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I guess, Mark, do you have any other questions?
Just comments other than, you know, I didn't, we hadn't met before this interview here, Eric, and I just have to come away by saying I'm very, very impressed with you as an individual, you as an artist and a musician, and just very honored that you spent some time with us here.
Thanks. Likewise, I'm glad to hear that what you guys are doing is successful and support what you guys are doing. I love, you know, what you stand for and the whole, you know, scene of Lewis and Tolkien and all that literature. It's fantastic stuff. So glad you guys are doing it.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. And, we just hope that all of our listeners can learn about your music and actually take inspiration from your words as well in this interview, as well as maybe go out and listen to your music and get inspired in their own lives to make art and to be driven by the passion of creating the art rather than the outcome can be not as good as I'd hoped, but it's the adventure, I guess, of creating the art that's sometimes better than the final product, really.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Thanks for letting me be a part of it, and you know, thank you to the listeners out there and the future forestry fans who've supported this process. Really, really grateful for that as well.
Excellent. So, Mark, you want to take it from here, or?
Yeah, and thank you, Eric, and thanks for everyone listening and joining us today to listen to our interview with Eric from it's Eric Ouyang.
That's right, from, Eric Ouyang.
Yep, from Future of Forestry, and make sure that you check out his music, because I'll tell you what, from both Paul and I, we think it is a phenomenal experience for everyone to listen to.
And just one thing to interject too, it's something that. That anyone of any age can get into. My mom overheard it, and she had the Christmas album playing constantly over the holiday season. So, I mean, anyone can get into it and just can love it. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Eric. And we'll have you back again, I'm sure.
Great. Would love to talk to you guys again.